Let's pray together. Lord, as we come before your word, we ask that you would open our eyes to behold the wonders, the glories that are here. Lord, I ask that you would build within us a renewed confidence, a strength that comes only from you. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, in these times, many hearts are filled with worry and anxiety. These are certainly uncertain times. And we need to stop and remember that our sovereign God could put a stop to this pandemic in an instant. But he has not chosen to do so. So the question is, what is he up to? What is God accomplishing through the coronavirus, through COVID-19? Well, he's accomplishing a thousand different things. But perhaps one of the things is that while the world is being shaken, those who are truly unshakable are being shown, who are being revealed, while others who think they're solid, think they are secure, are coming to recognize that they have been building their lives on sinking sand. This morning, I want to consider with you why Christians should not worry. There are glorious, rock-solid, indestructible reasons and foundations and warrants and grounds why we should not be afraid. We shouldn't fear what the coronavirus can do to our health or to our family, to our business, to the economy, to Western civilization, to history as we know it. There are good reasons not to fear any of this. I want to draw your attention to a section from the Sermon on the Mount. So let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Here Jesus tells us not only that we are not to worry, but he gives us reasons to fight against anxiety. What is the cure for worry? What prescription does Jesus, the good physician, give for fear? The antidote for anxiety is considering what it means that God is your Father. If God sustains the universe and provides for all of creation, will he not more so care for and provide for and protect you, his children? You see, worry is distrusting the promises and the providence of God. Believers have absolutely no reason to worry because God is your heavenly Father. Listen now to the word of our Savior. This is the word of the Lord. I'll be reading from Matthew 6, beginning at verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. God's holy, perfect, inerrant, and infallible word. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They neither grow nor toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the word of the Lord. The main point of this passage is that Jesus doesn't want his disciples to be anxious. He makes it clear, verse 25, do not be anxious about your life. Verse 31, do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat? Verse 34, do not be anxious about tomorrow. So Jesus says, don't be anxious. Don't worry about your life. This is the idea of excessive concern. Don't be overly concerned with your life. Look again at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, about what you will eat, about what you will drink, about your body, about what you will put on. He says, don't worry about your temporal life, the life that's just here and now, the life that consists of that which is physical, that which is temporary, what you eat and drink, what you wear. Don't be anxious concerning this temporal life and its necessities. Jesus doesn't simply say, don't worry. Jesus gives us reasons why we shouldn't worry. These reasons, they are weapons to fight worry. Weapons against our anxiety. For the person who really trusts what Jesus says here, worry does not stand a chance. The Lord is saying, don't worry about these earthly things. Don't stress out. Don't be anxious. And he gives us reasons why. And all of these reasons relate to the fact that God is our Father. Anxiety is foolish if you belong to the Lord, because you have a heavenly Father who cares for you. He asked a question at the end of verse 25. He says, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Don't worry about life. Don't worry about your basic necessities, because life is about more than what you need temporarily. Real life is more than what food and clothing can sustain. Jesus is hinting at the fact that we have a supernatural, we need a supernatural sustenance. We need to be cared for by something way beyond what we can buy or get for ourselves. Those basic necessities, they only sustain physical, temporal life. But you and I, we were made for eternal life. He illustrates this point with food. So look at verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither reap nor sow nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So he says, birds don't worry about their food. They don't farm and store. They don't have these big old granaries and such. No, they just eat one worm at a time. They provide, they wait for the provision of the Lord that comes day by day. And that's what God does. He provides for them. Every berry that is eaten, every insect that's snatched out of the air is provided by God. We see this truth throughout the scripture. Here's Job 38, verse 41. God provides for the ravens his food when his young ones cry out to him. Or generally, of all of creation, we read in Psalm 145, verse 15, the eyes of all wait on you, and you give them their food in due season. So your heavenly Father, he provides for birds. He gives them their daily food. Of course, this reminds us of the Lord's Prayer, which is just a couple paragraphs earlier, in which we are commanded to pray and ask God for our daily bread. We rely upon the Lord's provision just like the birds do. But there's even something special at the end. Look again at the end of verse 26. Are you not of more value than they? He's not just saying you also are valuable like the birds are. He says you're actually more valuable. You matter to God more than the birds. And the birds are faithfully provided for by God. Are you not going to be cared for by your Father? We are made in God's image. We are far more valued than birds. And so God will certainly provide for us. If God cares for fairly insignificant birds, he'll certainly care for us. The question is really this: have you forgotten who your Father is? Who your heavenly Father is? If God cares for the birds, he will certainly care for you. So the first thing that we see in this passage, Jesus is saying, don't worry because God is your Father. God is your Father. If you're a child of God, he will make sure that you have what you need. Life is a gift from God, and God sustains that life. He will provide all that you need. Now, this doesn't mean that you can just be lazy. You can just sit on your hands. You don't need to go get a job and work. You see, even the birds, they have to gather that which God provides. But God is still providing. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, we have this stern warning. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So you need to work, but you need to recognize that God has provided you with the ability, the strength, the mind to work. In verse 27, we have yet another reason not to worry. Look there with me. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span? Well, we know the answer to that question. No one. You can't add to your life. You can't make your life longer by worrying. The truth is, if you're really an anxious person, you might make your life shorter, but you can't make it longer. His point is that worry and anxiety is actually pointless. It has no value. It doesn't help at all. So don't do it. Anxiety accomplishes nothing. God has given us life, and God will sustain our life. So we don't need to worry about life. Then he gives us yet another vivid illustration. He's already talked about food. Now he goes to clothing. In verse 28, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The question here is really a rebuke. Look at 28 again. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon is nothing in comparison to these flowers. Why are you worried? Now, we might think, well, there's lots of good reason to worry. And he says, but God is your Father. He provides for flowers in the field. The beauty of wildflowers is nothing. It makes Solomon, the richest man that had lived, makes all that he could buy and clothe himself with look like rags. Now just think of it. If God cares so much to give all this beauty to flowers that are here for a moment, does he not care more for us? Look at verse 30. He says, but if God so clothes the grass, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So flowers don't last. They're beautiful, but they wither and fade. But you, in contrast, you will last forever. You are eternal because of what Jesus has accomplished. And if God cares for these short-lived flowers, he will certainly care and provide for his children who are eternal. So trust him. Trust him, O you of little faith. You see, that's what's really on display here. Anxiety is a trust issue. Worry is saying, I don't think God's going to take care of me. What we're being called here is to trust our Father. Come what may, we need to recognize that he will take care of us. Your heavenly Father, like any faithful father, will provide for his children whom he loves. You know, worry is really practical atheism. When we're anxious, it's as if we don't think God is in control. Or maybe he's asleep on the job. He doesn't know what's going on. Worry is sinful. It's the opposite of faith. Oh, we must trust God. We need to confidently rely on him rather than anxiously worrying ourselves. Jesus wants his disciples to be free of this enslaving anxiety. When your heart grows anxious, remember that God, he's provided for the birds and for the flowers. Let the lilies preach to you. Let the birds sing to you of God's sovereignty. God is still in control. He will certainly provide for you. So trust him. Have faith in your heavenly Father. Second reason, don't worry because you're in God's family. Now, this is still very much related, but it's this idea that we are connected to the people of God, and God cares for us all. We see this in verses 31 and following. Again, we have the command, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Now, when he says the Gentiles think after these things, he's making a contrast between the people of God. He's saying that's what unbelievers do. Those who are outside of the family of God, they worry. They do so naturally because they don't have someone watching out for them. They don't have someone caring for them. They actually have good reason to worry. And if you worry, you're acting like an unbeliever. You're acting like someone who doesn't belong to God. Trust your heavenly Father. Anxiety is worldly. If you worry about temporal necessities, you're acting like you're outside of God's family. But the truth is, you're not a heathen. You're not a pagan. You're part of the people of God. You're in God's family. That is, if you trust in Jesus. Ask yourself, do you face difficulties like a Christian or like an unbeliever? When things are difficult, do you doubt? Do you worry? Do you act as if it all depends on you? Do you react with joy and confidence? Because you know, whatever the trouble, you are in God's hands. The second half of verse 32 actually gives us another reason. The first is about those who were outside of the family. In the middle of the verse, it says, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. God knows what you need. Don't worry as if God is asleep. He knows your needs. You see, worry really assumes that God is either unaware, indifferent, or powerless. And none of those things are true. In verse 32, he says, your heavenly Father knows all that you need. At the end of verse 33, he says, and all these things will be added to you. So he knows, and he has the power to provide everything that you need. God does care. God does know. God does provide. So put your hope, your confidence in him. Focus upon him. That's where verse 33 comes in. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The word but, so in contrast to all of this worry, all this fear, all this anxiety, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek that which pertains to him. Seek God. Fill your mind, your attention with God. Instead of being concerned with all the things of this life, be concerned with God. So here's what we've seen this morning. Do not worry because of who your Father is. Do not worry because you're in God's family. And thirdly, don't worry because your future is in your Father's hand. Look at verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Here he literally says, don't start worrying about tomorrow. Planning for tomorrow is good. Saving is wise, but worrying is foolish. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. It's a waste. God is the God of tomorrow just as much as he is the God of today. You need not worry about that which has not even happened. God will give you the strength for each day. There are new mercies every morning. Trust in our God. You see, fear lies to us. Fear tells us that your future is not under control. But trust recognizes that God holds your future secure. You've got enough trouble each day. Trust the Lord, and He'll take care of tomorrow. Here we see that worry is forbidden. It's incompatible for those who have God as their Father. If you're a member of His eternal family, if you know that He holds your future, you've no reason to worry. Now, backing up to verse 33, I think we really do have the conclusion. Three times, do not be anxious, do not be anxious, do not be anxious. But the one positive command is in verse 33. Seek first His kingdom. Again, this reminds me of the Lord's Prayer, where we're commanded to ask for God's kingdom to come, for His will to be done, for His name to be hallowed throughout the earth. Is that what your life is full of? Are you concerned with His kingdom? Or are you more concerned with the things of this world? Seek Him, love Him, long for God's glory to be revealed. He'll take care of the rest. Seek His righteousness, obey Him. He'll take care of you. Seek Him, and He will provide for your needs. Now, I want to focus on the word needs, because some have taken this text and they've said, oh, see, look, God's going to provide all the rest, everything I want. Careful. Listen to yet another promise. Here's Philippians 4, verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So God promises to be our supply, our provider. Indeed, He is. But what He supplies, what He promises us, is that which we need. That which we need. We need to recognize that there are Christians who have starved to death. There are Christians who have been stripped naked. In Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, we have those who have commended for trusting in the Lord. And in that list, we have this. This is verse 37. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. Here we have those who trust the Lord, those who are faithful Christians, followers of Yahweh, and they're destitute. That means that they are in want. It means that they lack basic necessities of life, like food and shelter and clothing. This is interesting. God will provide what we need, but sometimes we think we need a lot more than we actually need. In Romans 8, verse 35, we are promised that neither nakedness nor famine shall separate us from the love of Christ. That means there are those who are without clothing, those who are without food, and yet they cannot be separated from the gospel truth that Jesus will sustain us eternally. We will have all the food and all the clothing and all the drink that we need to accomplish the will of God in our lives. There's no guarantee of physical comfort in this world, no guarantee of life on this earth. But if we are in God's family, we have everything we need provided to us by our Heavenly Father. No trial will come in which He does not give you what you need to endure to the end. Psalm 55, verse 22 says this, cast your burdens on the Lord and He will sustain you. We will have many burdens in this life, but our Lord, our God, He will sustain us. Verse 33 says, but seek first His kingdom, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't be so foolish as to make your chief concern the things which perish with using. Rather, be concerned and seek after that which is eternal, that which matters, that which lasts. If you're in God's family, you don't need to worry. If God is your Heavenly Father, you are provided for, you are taken care of. You don't need to worry about this life. You don't need to be afraid. You can live without anxiety. You can have contentment that is warranted, that's God-sustained. You can have unshakable peace if you're in God's family. But everything I have said this morning is true for those who are in God's family. But it's not true for unbelievers. If you're not in God's family, if you're not a Christian, you actually have every reason to worry, every reason to fear, every reason to be anxious. Because the truth is, at any moment, your life can come to an end. And there's nothing standing between you and judgment. You see, we have all sinned. We have broken God's law, and we deserve condemnation. We deserve damnation. Each one of us deserves to go to hell because of our rebellion against God. And that's why Christians are so excited about what we call the good news, the gospel, that God made a way to take rebels against his will and bring them into his family. You see, we can be reconciled. We can be brought into the very family of God because of what Jesus has accomplished. Jesus came and lived a perfect life, obedient in every aspect to his Father. But then Jesus chose to lay down his life, to be a substitute, to willingly take the punishment that sinners deserve. We have this truth in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, this perfect one who was sent by the Father came to give his life, to die in our place, to rise from the dead, so that whoever believes, whoever trusts in him, whoever stops being worrying and anxious, but rather takes hold of Christ, that person can be forgiven. That person can be granted a confidence that is unexplainable. That person comes into the very family of God. In the first chapter of John, we have these incredible words. This is John 1, verse 12. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you're outside of the family of God, you can become a child of God right now if you turn from your sin and trust in Jesus. And you too can have the confidence that I've been talking about this morning, the confidence to face a pandemic or anything else without fear, without worry, without anxiety. Trust in Jesus and come into his family. So, the antidote to anxiety is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What Jesus has accomplished helps us to live without fear. Right now is a time for us to rise above the panic, a time for us to honor our Father who holds our future, who treasures us far more than birds and grass that he provides for. It's a time for us as believers to demonstrate that we trust in the Lord. Let me pray for you. Lord God, I pray for all who can hear my voice, that you would bless them and keep them, that you would make your face shine upon them and be gracious to them. Lord, I pray that you would grant them peace, a peace that only comes from knowing that you are in control, that you are good, that you know all of our needs and that you will provide for us. Lord, we rejoice that we have no need to worry. No reason for anxiety. We need not fear because of Jesus and because of the Father and because of the work of the Spirit. It's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.